There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Can we have the other music? Oh, good. Yeah, the... That's our shutdown sounder. Children of the 80s, young adults of the 90s. Oh, yeah, just shut them down. That's what it looks like right now as we get started on Midday Mobile on this Thursday. I know we have till the 15th for the temporary reprieve of the partial government shutdown. A lot of adjectives in there. But things are not moving on today. We will go to some audio from President Trump here in just a second. He was running a little bit long, so we will be able to get that to you. Probably we'll run to the news break early here and come back to the president's comments from just a little bit ago. This stems off of Nancy Pelosi having her presser today. Speaker Pelosi saying no money for the wall. I mean, not even like said there's not going to be any money for the wall in this legislation, and then went on to talk about a handful of other items. So we'll get into. I think it is interesting, as President Trump did not dodge a question today, and Nancy Pelosi did dodge a question today, which is might not be too surprising. Let's go to, you want to go to that clip here? This is so Speaker Pelosi talking about wall money and wall funding.
There's not going to be any wall money in the legislation. However, if they have some suggestions about certain localities where technology, some infrastructure, as I said, about the ports of entry, we might need more ports of entry. We might need some roads. That's part of the negotiation.
Okay, wait a second. So we need more ports of entry. I'm just wherever you are on this, on the wall. Let's break that down for a second. We need more ports of entry to keep people from crossing illegally. So is it a situation where the kids are only loitering because there's not a skate park nearby? I mean, is it one of those? I mean, is that kind of the logic, one of those where you say, well, the only reason they're crossing the border illegally, if Speaker Pelosi was talking to me, the only reason they're crossing the border illegally, Sean, listen, there's just not enough conveniently located ports of entry. Speaker Pelosi, they're coming in illegally, not because they just can't find the port of entry. They're coming in illegally because they're not legal immigrants and have not gone through the process. The idea that you're going to have some additional points of entry, how does that statement just fly? And I mean, listen, President Trump does it too, and I'll call it out when he says something like, yeah, that doesn't even make sense. Well, in this case, Speaker, what are you talking about? We have some more money for infrastructure and more ports of entry. They're not coming through the desert with the dang coyotes and risking their lives because they can't find a convenient port of entry. They're coming in because they're on the sneak, Nancy. Listen, we'll come back. We got the audio from President Trump, some of it as he was taking some questions about where we go from here. Is it shut down again? Coming up, we've got, 3 weeks here? We're really just not even 3 weeks, 2 weeks, until we hit the new deadline here for what could be a return. Thank you. Good choice there for music to get us to the news break. Are we right back to it come February 15th? It doesn't sound like our leaders on either side are negotiating. Sounds like they're politicking.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:13, FM Talk 106.5. And holy cow, I would have
I would have failed that one, and I embarrassed to kind of try to be a student of Mobile's Mardi Gras history, which we all get a good lesson on every year this time of year with the Moon Pie Minute. The story of Mardi Gras is told by my buddy, co-worker here, Rennie Brabner. His family's only been here since, 1703. Has a pretty good sense of the Mardi Gras vibe, but I would have missed, Rennie would have been mad if I was surprised to hear, and I say sad news, it's sad, but she was 97, so that's I'd say a pretty full life. But the first African-American monarch of Mobile Area Mardi Gras Association, MAMGA, Eileen Jenkins Howard, died at age 97. I would have did not realize she was still with us up to now. All right, we'll talk about that more coming up with some Mardi Gras talk in just a little bit. Also, later on this hour, we'll be joined by Senator Cam Ward. We've got a lot to talk about on the Alabama prisons front. We'll get to that as well. Now let's run to this. This is a little bit of the president speaking, getting to ask some questions after you heard Speaker Pelosi say there will be no funding for the wall. And the president had this to say.
So it's great. Well, we're going to go into everything. You probably saw this morning I put out a statement. We're going into everything. This isn't going to be a small deal with China. This is either going to be a very big deal, or it's going to be a deal that we'll just postpone for a little while. But we've been dealing with China. We've had a great relationship. I have a great relationship with President Xi. The relationship of my people to Chinese representatives has been very good. They're negotiating now. They'll be coming over here at about 4 o'clock, and we'll be talking to actually one of the top leaders in China, as you know. I think that probably the final deal will be made, if it's made, will be made between myself and President Xi. But we're certainly talking about theft. We're talking about every aspect of trade with a country. And we're talking about fentanyl, too. As you know, most of the fentanyl, which is killing 80,000 Americans a year, it comes through China. And in China, it was not criminalized. And they've agreed to criminalize fentanyl and give it the maximum penalty. The maximum penalty in China, if you're selling drugs, is death. It's the death penalty. And they've agreed to do the death penalty for selling fentanyl. And if it shipped to the United States, that would be a very severe penalty. So I think that's going to have a tremendous impact. We put that one item into the trade deal, the fentanyl. I think it's a very important item to put in. But they've agreed very readily, we really appreciate it, to criminalize the sale of fentanyl. Steve?
You think they'll make the March 1 deadline?
I don't know. I mean, it's... I can tell you there's a lot of people are working. What happens, we're charging large tariffs to Chinese products that are coming in, which hurts China. As you know, you saw the reports. Out of the 25 points, we're paying for 4 points out of the 25. They're paying for 21. That's a big difference. I've always said that. We're taking in billions of dollars, and frankly, we're creating a lot of industry. But the rate goes from 10% to 25% on March 1st. So they would like to do it, and I'd like to accommodate them. If we can, I'd like to accommodate China if we could get the deal done. It's a lot of work because this is a very comprehensive deal. This isn't what we're talking about. You know, they're going to buy some corn and that's going to be it. No, they're going to buy corn. Hopefully, they're going to buy lots of corn and lots of wheat and lots of everything else that we have. But they're also talking heavy technology, heavy manufacturing, financial services, and everything else.
So you may have to extend the call beyond March 1st. Is that what you're saying, sir?
I think we can do it by March 1st. Can you get it down on paper by March 1st? I don't know. I can say on March 1st, the tariff on China goes to 25%. And that's a big tariff.
What's the tone looking like at the State of the Union, sir? And then I don't know if you've seen Democrats have tapped the rebuttal speech. Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor of Georgia. Any thoughts on their picks, sir, or any of the messages?
Oh, I campaigned against Stacey Abrams. I know that President Obama campaigned for her. Michelle Obama campaigned for her. And Oprah campaigned for her. And all Brian had was me. And he won fairly easily, you know, fairly easily. I hope that she does a good job. I mean, I respect her. I don't know her. I haven't met her, but I hope she does a good job.
And the tone for your speech, sir, can you tell us how the state
I think it's unification. I think it's industry. I think it's about the people that you see right here. It's also working with these people because they've been incredible. We have had some incredible report, and we've had incredible Republican support. The problem is the Democrats, you know, when they say we don't want to build, as an example, we don't want to build a wall because it doesn't work or because it's immoral. Well, it's also immoral, the people that come into our country that shouldn't be here and kill people. That's immoral, too. That's a lot more immoral. So, but I really think it's going to be a speech that's going to cover a lot of territory, but part of it's going to be unity. Yeah, please.
Nancy Pelosi said this morning that there is not going to be a wall in this deal, but she did say she'd be open to other kinds of physical barriers. Would you accept that?
No, because if there's no wall, it doesn't work. She's just playing games. So if there's no wall, it doesn't work. And we're building the wall right now. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, but we have a lot of wall under construction. We've given out a lot of contracts over the last 3-4 weeks, good contracts. A lot of wall is soon going to be under construction. We're finishing up design on certain areas, the most important areas, the Rio Grande area and others. We are building a lot of wall. You know, I'm not waiting for this committee. And I've told a lot of people, I don't expect much coming out of the committee because I keep hearing the words that we'll give you what you want, but we're not going to give you a wall. And the problem is, if they don't give us a wall, it doesn't work. Without a wall, it doesn't work. We have caravans right now coming up from Honduras, who we give a lot of money to, which is stopping, by the way. But we pay hundreds of millions of dollars to Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And then they have caravans leaving their country coming up here. And by the way, if you go to Tijuana and you take down that wall, you will have so many people coming into our country that Nancy Pelosi will be begging for a wall. She'll be begging for a wall. She will say, Mr. President, please, please give us a wall. It'd be very interesting. Some people have suggested, let me take the wall along California. Let's move it to Arizona. Let's move it to Texas. And, you know, it'd be a very interesting statement about Nancy. So in California, they wanted the wall built in San Diego so badly. And we built it. And probably I should have waited, because as soon as it was finished, they started screaming, we don't want a wall, we don't want a wall. But they wanted the wall so badly. And by the way, it worked. Nobody's getting through. But the minute it was built, they started saying, we don't want a wall. Without a wall, it doesn't work. It's very simple. I mean, I'm not saying this as a Republican. I'm not saying it as anything other than a fact stated. Without a wall, it just doesn't work.
Mr. Yes. President, after listening to the hardship from many federal government workers, as well as those contractors, and who relied on the federal government employees' finances to fund their businesses, are you willing to jeopardize the economy again and also your presidency with people who are fearful of another government shutdown over this wall?
So,
I want to ask you about Jesse Smollett, if you've heard about that story.
Hey, I do want to stop there for a second. Can we stop there for a second and see if we get back into more on this? Because time mark where we stopped, although we may run out of time. What kind of question was that? Do you want to jeopardize the economy and your reelection attempt? Now, I think you need to ask the president about a shutdown. That's what journalists do. I'm not some sycophant who wouldn't think that, but wouldn't you just say, hey, if you don't get a deal struck with Democrats, is it not true that we will face another shutdown? The last shutdown cost the economy X number of million of dollars or whatever the stat is, and roll it out, and then let the president answer from there. I mean, it seems like that would be the way you would cage it, right? That's the way you would cage that question, at least the way I would see it. So the president reacted to that. I'll tell you what, we'll grab some calls. So the president goes on, and we can post up some links. You can watch the full extent of the president's interchange. But, I mean, here it is. I mean, you heard him talking about it there. Speaker Pelosi says there's no money. Like I said, both sides have painted themselves in the corner. First of all, the president has painted himself in a corner because he said he's, you know, going to build the wall and build it now kind of thing. Okay, so the Democrats know what he wants. And Democrats are saying that it's immoral. So there's not even, if it's a money thing, which is a bunch of baloney anyway, if it's a money thing, because they're now talking about, oh, they'll spend money. Think about it. They'll spend money on all these other things, drones or whatever. They're just not going to give him a signature win. They'll spend money elsewhere. Come on. It's never been about the money. I've been telling you that since day one. Never been about the money. But they have said it's immoral, not building a wall, it's all these things. So they have left themselves no wiggle, and I don't think the president has left wiggle. What makes you think we don't go right back in to a partial government shutdown? I think that would be, if you just would have asked the president, as the reporter, say, you know, at this point, what do you think would prevent us from going into a shutdown? And with that shutdown, it could cost the American economy billions of dollars. What do you say? Fair question. But going on and tacking on, this could affect your reelection. This is, just kind of things to stand out. All right, grab a couple calls here. And by the way, too, coming up after the bottom of the hour news, State Senator Cam Ward joins us. We've been talking for years on the show about the situation with Alabama prisons and needing to build new prisons, and Bentley was talking about it, but it's all based on the chance of having federal receivership of Alabama prisons. And now, at least the rumor mill out of Montgomery is, if the legislature won't do it, Governor Kay Ivey could move to a plan here to bring in a private company to build the prisons, and then the state would lease the prisons and put Alabama Department of Correction employees in there as a way to do an end around on the legislature. State Senator Cam Ward has been working on this since the days of Bentley. He'll join us coming up here after the bottom of the hour news. All right, Ken is in Mobile, and he's first up. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you, Sean?
I'm good, man. So what's your take on all this?
Good to hear from you. Well, I was going to offer a quick suggestion for Pelosi's more...
ports of entry?
Open borders, ports of entry.
More, she says, that more ports of entry.
What we can do is we can send Slim Pickens down there, and we can couple of rolls of dimes, and man, it'll keep them from everything. I think it's only a couple thousand dollars. We got this thing solved.
Now, okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm cracking up. But I mean, seriously, and I'd love to hear from people. I got some people on the text line. Y'all can hop on the phone line too. But I mean, when she rolls out in an interview, when she in the presser, and she says, "We will fund more ports of entry to stop the illegal immigration." How does it? They're not, it's, maybe I'm just regular people, ask regular people questions, but how does have, they're coming in illegally because they don't have the papers to come in legally. If they did, they would come through the port of entry. So they're going across the desert because they don't have the documents. So if you put another port of entry there with lights and, a slot machine and everything, they're not coming there because they're illegal. What am I missing, Ken?
I'm in the shipping industry. It's everything we can do to keep them off our boats coming in, much less just walking across the borders.
No, but they're doing that. See, they're coming in on they're stowing away on the ship because there's not a convenient port of entry.
That's correct.
Ken, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, that's wherever you are on this debate. I'd love to. I mean, even if you're somebody who is against the idea of building the wall, I would love to hear from you if you tell me why would having more. And I'm a guy that said, as part of a deal, if I'm Democrats, I would say if I'm Republicans too, because I feel this in my heart, as part of border security and building sections of wall or fencing or whatever the semantic is today, barrier on the border, because I've gone through my osmosis analogy with you. If with that, I would look again at our immigration process, okay? And let's see, are we doing the best job of allocating legal immigration? I like the idea of new Americans, proud Americans. I dig that. Xenophobic, I'm not. Rule of law, I am. So if we need to do things to the immigration process to make it more of a, at the same time, you say you can't come in here illegally, but we're looking at the ways to make it easier to come in here legally. I'm good with that. That's part of the discussion. But that is not what Nancy Pelosi is saying. We're going to spend money on more ports of entry. Once again, that is a silliness. I mean, if you want to have more ports of entry because some other reason, then we can talk. But if you're saying the reason people are coming in illegally, they just can't find them a port of entry that's convenient. I know they're parking in somebody's yard. It's just because they can't find a turnstile there. They can't find a parking meter. I mean, come on. They're coming in Because they don't have, they don't have the legal go-ahead to come in. It's not because they can't find them a good spot to find a legal port of entry. I mean, it's stuff like this rolls out in Washington, and I would like to see some flags thrown on the play. That's all I'm saying. All right, a couple notes here before we get to our conversation with Cam Ward. Plus, Brendan Kirby is joining us in hour number two. Oh, yes. ITEM bridge timetable pushback due to environmental process. Now, Dalton, is that a win for me? You know, when I was talking to the politicians and they said, no, Sean, it's going to get done. Your cynicism about this not getting done in 2019, and all the stories came out how it would be done in 2019, that not the bridge project finished, I mean, but they would be moving dirt. I said not just having press conferences and drawings, y'all would be moving dirt. And it came out that yeah, they're going to move dirt in 2019. Now Dale Leach's story from Lanyap says, in the story says the earliest anyone in Mobile will see shovels in the ground is now 2020, according to LDOT spokeswoman Allison Gregg. How that would happen? So the project's still in the archaeology phase, and the deadline for requests for proposals, an RFP, released to three teams selected to develop the project, has been pushed back to late summer or early fall due to issues with environmental review process. All right? So that sure to me seems like not 2019. So it says a design deadline originally scheduled for June. She went on to say, Allison Gregg said, the process is taking longer than we thought it would. We want to get it right because it's in such a sensitive area. It's important to get it right now before the construction starts. All right. So in my ability to agree and disagree with a statement, let me do just that. First of all, it is important. You shouldn't make a bad decision for building that would affect environmental issues. Water flow, you know, siltation, those things need to be thought out. They weren't thought out in places like the Causeway when we built it way back then. But can I point out, y'all go in your time machine, how long have we been talking about the process here for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge? Decades, y'all, over a decade. And now, oh, well, we got to give some more time for this because y'all hadn't thought about that before. No 2019 for the bridge, y'all. Check the news. Coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Cool thing for you to try. And I'm jealous. By the way, I'm jealous. This deal applies to you. I am jealous, and I'll explain why here in just a second. Told you I've been shaving with Harry's for years now, and I love the savings. I like saving money. I like convenience. I like a great shave. And Harry's has got, if you've been on the fence about this, listen to me over time talking about Harry's, get ready to get off that fence. Think about this. 2019, time to make a New Year's resolution to save money. You can save money, guys, with your shaving. How about, Harry's finally ran the numbers for me, about $100 a year if you're a regular shaver. Means something, doesn't it? When you get half price, what you're paying right now for blades when you go shopping with Harry's. I love the shave with Harry's. I love the convenience of having the blades show up at the house so I don't have to remember to order or go get them. You know, I mean, think about that. How many times it's when you run out of your last blade is when you need to not run out of your last blade. Harry's has those blades show up at the house. You get a great shave, you save money, and you get the convenience. And Harry's is making this deal for y'all. If you are a new customer for Harry's, that means I cannot get this deal. New customers can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for $3 plus free shipping. $3, y'all. Just use Mobile when you go to harrys.com. That's the code, Mobile. My code, just use Mobile, our city, at harrys.com. For a limited time, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. Once again, new customers at Harry's get $5 off a trial set when you use code Mobile at harrys.com. It means you get the razor, the weighted handle, the foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3. Plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So join the millions of us that already made the switch and go to harrys.com today. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer and thank me later. I mean, $3? $3. All right. And by the way, Senator Cam Ward was going to join us at 12:35. He has moved to 12:45, so he'll join us shortly, which is actually, that's good. I mean, I want to talk to Senator Ward, but I do want to, a little more on this story. Not because some people would deliver this story because they're anti-growth for our area or happy that the bridge project's not moving on. I'm not one of them. I'm just one that has a great deal of cynicism on these big, big projects. And when I'm told, oh, yeah, everything's fine, Sean, your cynicism's misplaced. Okay, so the bridge project that has been going on for a long time, over a decade, discussion of the I-10, or really longer than that, the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. We were then told last year that this year we would see dirt moved. Not that the project be completed or anything, but they would start moving dirt. Quit talking about it and start doing stuff. And they've been doing a lot of, obviously, the work on surveying, you know, where you put the pilings in. You've seen the equipment along the bayway and the causeway. They've done that. They've done lots of environmental impact studies. They've done archaeology studies in the past. They've done studies. They've done studies of how the shadow from that bridge would lay across downtown Mobile. Okay? Been doing this for a long time. So it was with some surprise when I saw Dale Leisha's story that popped up today that said, for all those excited about the possibility of seeing a new Mobile River Bridge construction this year, the Alabama Department of Transportation would like you to pump the brakes. I like that, Dale. The earliest anyone in Mobile will see shovels in the ground is 2020. ALDOT spokeswoman Allison Gregg confirmed, said the project's still in the archaeology phase, and the deadline for requests for proposals released to three teams selected to develop the project has been pushed back to late summer or early fall due to issues with the environmental review process. Now, if this was a brand new project, or if it was a project that's a couple years old, I'd say, okay, fine, to be expected. But we've talked about environmental impact. We've talked about archaeology studies. We've talked about this stuff for a decade. And maybe there's some key piece of information that I'm missing out on, remember we went through, like, they would do something, they would have comment period and have another proposal and an impact statement, and then you'd have remember, this has gone on for years and years and years. I mean, this radio station will be 10 years old May 1st. And when we launched the station, we were talking about the bridge project. And so, and maybe there's some valid, solid reason, but saying they're still doing this archaeology project, they've been doing these. So if you thought the dirt would be moved in 2019, looks like that's not happening. All right, grab some calls on this, and or phone number. If you don't have this in the contacts list, go ahead and put it in. FM Talk 106.5. You can call or text 343-0106. If y'all are down at Orange Beach, you might have to throw the 251 in there. Let's go to Jason in Mobile first. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Sean. What's going on, buddy?
Man, I don't know. What do you think about this? So, no 2019. It's going to be at least 2020.
Yeah, I'm having trouble. I might be missing something, but apparently there's not going to be any exits off of either bridge, you know.
And once you get out over the span, yeah, you're right. And the exit will be, I guess, well, I remember the drawing. There was one somewhere. There's a downtown exit, right? You can get off, like if you're on I-10, you can get off and go downtown Mobile, but not
sure. Yeah. But you understand what I'm asking,
I do.
Right?
It's, yeah,
like
the causeway,
spreading everything out and shoving it back in again. It doesn't make any sense to me.
The,
now, maybe there's some kind of engineer that can give me a better answer than that, but yeah, I just don't get it.
And I'll be with you. I'll be sitting in the audience listening to that. But one thing I know that, you know, there's going to be way more lanes out there, so I guess they expect us not to have a traffic issue. So we wouldn't have to get off, but maybe
it's not just going to push it down the lane when it all,
you know,
has to merge back together.
I don't know. Maybe the idea is local traffic will probably be more inclined to use the causeway, you know, instead of, because you know you can't get off, so you use the causeway, and then everybody going through will stay on the. I don't know. I don't know what their plan is, but I will dig into that.
Yeah, if it would empty out into another roadway or something, or it was heading south, like to, you know, Fairhope or something like that, down 98. I just don't get it.
I don't either. I don't either.
Smarter folks than me are making these decisions, I hope.
You and I both, Jason. I appreciate it. But I will try to find that. I will try to find that out. That's a fair question. I know they had the, you know, all the artist renderings and drawings and those things had been done in the past. just don't have them in front of me right now. Let's go to David in Mobile next. David?
Sean, our bridge is never going to be built.
So this is not the bridge to nowhere. It's the nowhere to the bridge?
The nowhere to the bridge. And until the state of Alabama elects a Gulf Coast-centric governor that will fire the head of ALDOT and hire a Gulf Coast-centric ALDOT director that knows the problems we got to go through. I mean, how long did it take them to even start construction or demolition on the I-59, I-20 corridor in Birmingham, Malfunction Junction? They're just now getting around to that. So until we get leadership in Montgomery that will focus on the coast, we're never getting our bridge.
I think we're a little closer, maybe, at least from the outside. I don't know what's really going on. From the outside, it looks like we get a little more attention from Governor Kay Ivey than we have since Siegelman. Right? Is that fair?
I understand. Yeah, I agree, and I understand that. And Bradley Byrne can do whatever he wants to do in Washington related to this bridge, either as a representative or as a senator. But federal highway dollars flows through the states, and until the state has representation in Montgomery that will actually spend that money on our bridge, I think I'll be dead before we get our bridge.
There we go. Let's hope it's, if that's true, that we don't get the bridge. You might have, what my mom used to say, you're tempting fate there, David, tempting fate. All right, 1244, FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, we will get this conversation with State Senator Cam Ward. He's been on the show with us over the years, and we started talking about this back during maybe even former Governor Bentley, his first term, maybe the second term. This idea that the state's going to have to do something because there's a situation where federal receivership could take over the Alabama prison system. And it's happened. It happened in California, and it means the state has to pay big money. It also means you get to release prisoners. It's not good. The idea has been one that needs to be tackled for quite a while. The question is, will they get it tackled? Like I said, the rumor mill, now this is just rumor mill. I have nothing confirmed on this, although we'll ask maybe the senator if he can tell us anything more about it, is if the legislature is not going to do it, could the executive branch do it? Could there be a Governor Ivey end around? In a discussion yesterday, and I'm just working off somebody else's opinion here, that it could be legally done within the bounds of the executive branch, that you would take a through the executive branch and make a deal with a private entity to build a prison. Okay, you build this new prison, whatever. The state then, state of Alabama, we the people, would pay lease on that prison. And then we'd put Alabama Department of Correction employees in there. So the state would have state, it wouldn't be a private prison like we've talked about in places like Louisiana and other places that do that. It would be a staffed by DOC, but the building, the prison, would be owned by a private entity. Is that something the governor would really push for? Is it maybe just a message to the legislature? Well, man's been looking at this situation with the state of Alabama for years and years and years. State Senator Cam Ward joins us next, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1248, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Or you can catch podcasts of this show and the 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming we do on our podcast page on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. All right. Bring back a guest who's been on the show many times with us, and I know there's probably many other things he'd like to talk about with us, but it seems like every time I ring State Senator Cam Ward's phone, I want to talk prisons, and he answers, which is a good thing. Hey, Cam.
Hey, how are you doing? Good to be back on, Sean.
Hey, good to have you on. How many years have we been talking about prison reform in Alabama? When was that task force formed?
The first time we got into this was probably 2013, so about 6 years ago.
Wow. Wow. And I mean, this is something that in-depth dive. You were talking with us about The reason for this and the 100 and whatever percent capacity at Alabama prisons and the danger of a federal receivership. Can you give us like the Cliff Notes version of what the
real quickly, roughly in 2010, we were at about, we were close to 200% capacity in our prison. And of course we did a series of sentencing reform, which has now moved that number down to around 160% capacity. And it'll probably go a little bit lower. But what you, if you're not careful, if you're too overcrowded or the conditions are considered unconstitutional, a federal judge can take over your prisons and force the legislature to fund whatever that judge deems he wants funded. So you never want to go into receivership. It creates a huge financial hardship for your system.
Okay, and there is that example. People can Google it and read more, but, I mean, it happened in California.
It did, and it cost them billions of dollars. And you, the legislature had no choice but just to fund whatever the judge told them to fund. And so you don't want to go down that road because you're surrendering your ability to govern the system.
And that judge, if I'm right, correct me, but they had to. They told California, you got to let people out. I mean, they just let criminals out.
They did
out.
A massive release of a lot of very violent offenders, which no one wants that. It's terrible for public safety.
Absolutely. I mean, that should make... That should, to me, okay, let's just talk raw politics. That should make this an easier item to get moved, whether it's with you and the crew in the Senate or over in the House, and it seems to have been less than easy to move in sessions past.
What happens, the politics of it becomes, is it, when prisons were originally done under the Wallace years, they were built in a way as kind of economic development projects scattered all over the state. And they made no geographical sense, and they really weren't conducive to transporting inmates. So every time we go back in to look at, well, are you going to build new prison somewhere? What we run into is everyone saying, well, wait a minute, I don't want to lose one in my area because it's important to my area. And then you start getting into about being more about money and economic development as opposed to a good criminal justice system.
And having a little trouble hearing you there on the phone, but so the issue is there's one of public safety and there's one of economics here.
That's correct.
Okay, so and that's it. Listen, within the sound of you and I talking right now, there's a very big state prison, you know, right up Highway 65.
Correct.
And I'm sure there's people up there go, you know, if this moves, how many jobs can we we'll lose? All these jobs. These are important jobs
for
our community.
Well, first of all, you have to do construction. This is not a maybe. This is the judges telling us the conditions are. You got to build some new ones and close a lot to pay for it. But you're right. What's going to happen is people are going to be worried they're going to lose their jobs in their area. What the DOC director talked about yesterday during the budget hearings was his job is to geographically build these in such a way that very little loss of an employment occurs in any one region.
And one part of that, too, is people got to understand, and I only learned from talking to you, that when you look at the cost to the state of running corrections, these ideas of prisons and brick and mortar and bars and all that seem very expensive, but it's actually manpower that costs the state so much.
The people watching those inmates are what the real cost is. Manpower is overwhelmingly the largest part of that. That and the constitutionally mandated health care they have to receive.
So with those two, and the health care coverage we can't change, but the idea of a new, am I right here that the newer facilities, you build a new prison, then you could keep more people with fewer corrections officers. That is
correct. And you're not really building them so much to increase your capacity. You're really building them because the ones we have right now are falling down, and the judge said, as he called them, horrendous conditions, and you've got to address it. So you're going to increase your capacity some to hold more, but not a whole lot more. You're mainly just replacing a very broken system now that's a huge public safety threat to the officers that work there.
Now, you've talked about this before, that you have two parts of this, or probably multiple parts, but one of them, and I know you've worked on, Senator Ward, is trying to keep people out there in the first place, or you know, get people on the right track, lower recidivism, all those things.
Yeah, well, you know what? You don't want to fill up your prison with a bunch of people who get caught with possession of drugs, who have an addiction or a mental health illness. So we've done a lot of work to make sure those people are not going in the first place, and we've greatly reduced that population, a lot over the last few years. So that's important so that you can save bed space for those violent offenders, rapists, murderers, child molesters, making sure we have plenty of bed space to keep them there as long as possible.
Okay, so then I want to get your take on this. The rumor I was hearing yesterday coming out of Montgomery is that Governor Ivey could push a plan here to find a private business, I guess, that would build prisons in the state and then the state of Alabama, would we lease the property and then staff it with DOC?
If they were to go that route, that's how you would do it. And the reason you wouldn't have to go to the legislature is because they wouldn't issue a bond issue. In other words, there would be no debt to pay for this. You would close facilities as you went to pay for those leases. And we would staff it and run it. The only difference would be whose name's on the title paper. But, yeah, you would run it just like you run any other prison. But you don't have to take out a debt to do that.
It's like you and I opened up Sean and Cam's ice cream shop and we lease space at a storefront.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the same.
Okay. And so I got to ask you this, and with deference as a member of the legislature, but isn't that y'all's job in the legislature, not the executive branch?
We've tried it three times on construction, and every time we've created a bigger mess than what we started with. Every time we do this, we start saying, well, we're going to do it, but don't mess with so-and-so's prison. Don't mess with so-and-so's prison. We end up creating a bigger mess. We end up getting more into the politics and then less into what was good for the criminal justice system. So we should, but each time we've tried it, we failed, so I want to get there however we got to get there.
Okay, so we get at that point. We've got a private entity building these prisons out. I mean, can just anybody build a prison? Guess we have to find a specialized.
They have to bid it out. The state would have to bid it out, and it has to be a competitive bid, but there's not many companies around the United States, I don't think, can do this. But there are several, they're big companies. But, I mean, you would just basically do a nationwide bid process and the lowest bidder comes in and does it.
We're renters. I mean, we are renters of that facility.
Yeah, you would rent it probably for the life of it, which would be about 30 years. So, yeah, that's what you would do.
And
but you don't run a debt doing that. That's probably the most advantageous part of it.
Okay, so, yeah, that's the idea here is there wouldn't be a bond issue because we wouldn't be paying the contractor. The private company would pay the contractor to build it, and we would figure out a number. How are you going to do that with 93% of earmarked budget? I mean, is it going to cost any more than it is now?
No, that's why, again, they don't go to the legislature because you're not increasing DOC's bottom line budget number for construction. You would close facilities, take the savings from closing those facilities to pay for the lease on the new facilities.
What is the savings? You've said that a couple of times. So we close old facilities and we save that money. We have it to you just because you still have the same employees.
But, if you take a 50 or 60-year-old prison, it costs a lot of money every year just to keep the pipes from bursting or keep the doors locked the proper way or, maintenance of electricity. By not having that old facility, you could take those savings and put it into the new facility to pay for the lease.
And I know, you're a smart man, and look at numbers. So those numbers do add up?
They do work, yeah. They do work. And I was originally a skeptic on this a few years ago when the Bentley administration proposed it. But you look at the numbers, they do work.
All right. I know that this is a early talk about this. I'm going to have you come back on the show soon to talk more with us when stuff starts moving in Montgomery.
I look forward to it, Sean, anytime.
All right. State Senator Cam Ward checking in with us. A big thank you to him. And this is something that you heard it. He's been on the show talking with us about this for years and years and years. I'm worried how long before the judge has enough of it and we do go into receivership. Go Google that. We don't even have time in this hour. About to wrap up for the hour. Coming right back next hour. But y'all Google what happened in California and see what they did there. Not only the dollars, which a state like ours, Lord knows, couldn't come up with, but also they made California let people out of prison. Not because they were reformed. Not because the people had served their time. Because they were over a certain number. That's not a motivator. I don't know what is. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.